Army Intelligence Captain Kenneth Bombay, served in Iraq. Been telling you all the time, president of the Suffolk Police Veterans Association for a decade, representing 400-plus veterans, many Afghan vets. Numerous trips he coordinated as far as the wounded troops, visiting with his great organization, talking about Walter Reed. Member of the Veterans Affairs Committee for County Executive Steve Ballone, the former Congressman Steve Israel. The aforementioned Army Intelligence Captain Kenneth Bombay. Sir, always great to have you. Wanted to have you on after I witnessed that clown show yesterday in virtual style, which I still can't figure out why Tony Blinken went virtual while being grilled. And, you know, the corporate line, how many are there? 100. How many, sir? 100. Can you give me an exact count, sir? Oh, about 100. And by the way, to blame the former president for all that has happened there, it's just despicable. Despicable performance beyond. Welcome aboard, sir. Give me your take.
Morning, Jay. Thanks for having me back. So I guess that's the place to start. We'll talk about Secretary Blinken's testimony yesterday. Again, it was a bad start just because of the virtual aspect. I think everybody picked up on that. But there were so many things to talk about in his testimony. Not a lot of surprises, Jay. You know, he was defending the position as we thought they would. He was blaming President Trump for everything. But there's a few things that I'll talk about that I thought were critical in his testimony to highlight. He continues to try and blur the issue by defending the decision to leave Afghanistan. Everyone knows that's not the issue under scrutiny here, Jay. The issue under scrutiny is how we left Afghanistan. We all know that the majority of Americans supported leaving Afghanistan, just not like this. He also, there's something else I've been picking up on that really bothers me that he does, and he's consistently tries to divert attention from his and President Biden's incompetence and poor decisions by defending the heroic efforts of the State Department and our military, and, you know, during the withdrawal effort, as if anyone is criticizing those efforts. Nobody, Jay, is debating the heroic efforts of the military and State Department personnel on the ground, and he knows that. All this is just a cheap political trick to avoid blame by evoking the love that we all have for our military. That's all it is. He tries to act like he's coming to their defense, and it's hard to attack him then. But they cut right through that, and they went right for the jugular yesterday. At least half of the aisle did, and I thought a lot of great points were brought up. One thing that he actually surprised me with was that he still continues to talk about the Taliban in terms of, you know, we're evaluating them and we're counting on them to be a reliable partner, which I thought was insane for him to do. Even for him to do, I think, is not a smart move. He says the Taliban is committed to preventing terrorist groups from using Afghanistan as a base to launch external terrorist operations, including, you know, Al-Qaeda and ISIS-K. But then he continues, not only is that ridiculous, but then he continues and says that the Secretary of State, that he also says that they're committed to providing safe travels for people within Afghanistan, being inclusive of women and girls in Afghanistan. These are things, and also, by the way, setting up a legitimate government, Jay, which we all know. It's like he thinks we don't watch the news, like we're living in a cave. We've already watched the news. They already set up a government. It's not legitimate. It's not representative of women and girls. It has a terrorist in top key positions in the Taliban's new government. We all know that. That's been all over the news. It's not a secret. It's like he doesn't think we know that right now, you know, and it's frustrating to watch. I mean, they have Sirajuddin Haqqani is the Minister of Interior in charge of security forces. I mean, why would he possibly even act as if we're still counting on them to form a legitimate government and to help us fight terrorism? You know, I mean, so they formed an all-male government, for one thing. They have no Shia representation in the national government whatsoever. Everything that he's saying he's counting on them to do, they've already not done. They put down protesters by shooting weapons and whipping women, literally whipping women. It's like he almost needs a history lesson, or he just feels that people are so uneducated about the issues that he could get away with this. They've already provided, we already know what they did. they've already provided a safe haven for terrorists 20 years ago. And it's the only reason we ever went into Afghanistan is because not only did they provide that safe haven, they would not cooperate with us to go and make those and hold those people responsible, the people that attacked our homeland. So we already know where the Taliban stands. And he still defended that, you know, the position of that they may be able to be a reliable partner, and we're watching them. The world was watching them 20 years ago, more than ever before. 20 years ago, the world was watching the Taliban, and they failed miserably. So why would we think it would be anything different now?
Yeah. And, you know, listen, here's the bottom line. And the late, great Senator John McCain said it best, that this guy was a danger. Now, listen, folks, you can go back in time in the history books. This guy was a deputy Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken. We'll get into that. But, you know, McCain labeled this guy as dangerous for wanting to remove U.S. troops from Afghanistan. He said this, Captain Bombay's, 8 years ago, 7 years ago, actually, I think it was 2014, that Blinken, you know, did the same thing as far as being an advocate for U.S. withdrawal without any type of plan, okay? That's the problem here, because it was McCain who argued way back in time that this country should leave a few thousand troops to prevent what? A takeover from the Taliban, okay? So that's what it's all about. This guy is a dangerous guy. Lee Zeldin and others were right on yesterday. He should resign. Enough is enough. We've all seen Blinken operate. He is terrible at his job. You know, and McCain, by the way, was referring, I should say, to the Islamic State terror group overturning much of Iraq. And you know this better than anyone, Captain Bombay's. If the U.S. troops withdrew, going back 10 years, 2011, I think, okay, and arguing that Taliban would see similar success in Afghanistan. This is a guy who was confirmed in 2015 over the objections of John McCain as the Deputy Secretary of State. Then President, by the way, Barack Obama did not stick to that time frame. U.S. troops remain in Afghanistan another 7 years. And that's really the bottom line here. It wasn't about the withdrawal. It was about the strategy for the 8 millionth time. Okay. That's why this guy should step down. He is not worthy of the title as far as Secretary of State and some of the great Secretary of States we've had in our history. He doesn't even compare. Okay. He's in the Pop Warner leagues compared to the Varsity. That's how bad Blinken is. Okay? He can't even give you a number as far as who is still stranded behind enemy lines. And, you know, one last thing from me on this. And that, listen, we've told you a million times, Biden did not use his head here. He was trying to make a payday for 9/11 this past Saturday. As far as the congratulation, attaboy, that type of thing, it failed on him horribly. 13 of our service members perished because of this type of thinking, okay? This type of thinking. And I'll say this forever, Captain Bombay's. Three things, you and I have spoken about this. To trust a terrorist organization like this administration has, disgusting. Okay, number one. Number two, you evacuate an airbase as this administration did. Midnight evacuation of this airbase. A la Art Modell and his Cleveland Browns. Remember that deal? July the 5th. Didn't even notify the Afghan military. Okay. And to leave $80 billion plus of military equipment, the U.S. military equipment left there. To have these guys parade around in the Humvees, celebrating the coffins, the empty ones, with the flags draped over them, to fly a helicopter with a dead body hanging from it, just celebrating beyond. And not only that, you have formed a new government with terrorists, people who were detained at Guantanamo Bay, known terrorists, okay? Tony Blinken.
Insane.
Tony Blinken, folks. This is what has happened here. He can't even show up in the same room because of embarrassment. He's got so much egg on his face, his brains are scrambled. No pun intended. It is disgusting to even watch this.
It's disgusting. I'll tell you, Jay, as far as the whole blaming the Trump presidency for what happened, that was another part of his testimony yesterday that it was shameless. Right? I mean, he says that they had the big line that he used, we inherited a deadline, we didn't inherit a plan. Well, President Trump did have a plan. It was a conditions-based plan, and he had the Taliban following step by step with that plan. And by the way, President Trump's plan included leaving nothing and nobody in that country. And obviously we saw that didn't happen. Not to mention, let's say he inherited a deadline and he didn't have a plan. All right, well, you've had 8 months to come up with that plan. You're the president. We all know that. I mean, he was changing so many policies of President Trump. It was his top priority. He did it through executive order and other means. Why didn't he come up with his own plan? Why didn't he change that? He did. He changed the deadline from May. In April, he changed it from May until he said, well, I've owned everyone out by September 11th. Well, then why were we held to an April 31st deadline and got chased out of there by the Taliban? That was ridiculous. He had 8 months to come up with his own plan to make this withdrawal a success, and he failed. The problem is he had no plan. They didn't come up with any plan. I think everybody knows that. They were caught completely off guard. In a weekend, they took over the country, and they simply weren't ready for it. The mistakes, to try and blame it on the previous administration is ridiculous. The mistakes were his. He gave up Bagram Air Base. He gave Kabul to the Taliban. When they offered, Jay, for us to take it. And that was part of President Trump's plan. That's why they stopped. And they said, someone needs to secure this. Do you want it to be you or us, the Taliban? And we handed that over. A lot of people feel that could have clearly prevented the death of so many service members there in Kabul. That's what was caused this. Poor planning and then bad decisions is what happened. And I'll be honest, as far as the deadline, Jay, what I think is that the big mistake they made right at the end when they were saying we had to be on August 31st, he sent the CIA director over there to meet with the Taliban. It should have never been posed as a question. Can we have an extension? America doesn't ask the Taliban if we could have an extension, especially not in a situation like this where lives are at risk. That should have been a statement, not a question. It should have said, when we are leaving, when every single American and ally are out of this country, period. That's when we leave. If you interfere, there'll be immediate and violent response, and you guys will become an enemy of the United States before the Taliban even forms a government. You will be our number one enemy if something happens. That's how this should have been put to them. Not, hey, guys, can we stay a few extra days to get out of here? That is so defeatist that I can't think of many Americans that when that happened and we came away, the CIA director came back and said, sorry, they turned us down. They said no. I think that made every American sick to see that happened when we had American lives at risk right there, Jack.
So egregious. Listen, the Secretary of State, so-called, owes the American people a lot of explanation for this. I don't want to hear the buck stops with Biden. Biden made all of these decisions. It is reprehensible as far as what we've witnessed, even more so to blame the previous administration, which I've said all along wasn't a great deal either. You know, May 1st and everything else. The one thing that Donald Trump did differently than this guy was he had a contingency in place, and people don't want to talk about that, okay? Let's never forget that Donald Trump maintained, for the 800th time I'm stating this on these airwaves, he maintained the U.S. fighter jets and the armed drones at Bagram, the air base. Use them, folks, to keep the Taliban in check. Whereas Biden, again, ordered that midnight evacuation of this air base on July the 5th, didn't even notify the Afghan military. Why do you think the Afghan military just gave up? They ran because they knew the deal here, okay? That's what I call wonderful communication, don't you? Not surprisingly, by the way, within hours, Taliban had looted that base, and that's what you have today. Okay. Donald Trump kept in check what was going on. He warned the Taliban leader at the time that he'd come back and hit harder than any country has ever been hit. We'll always remember those words. If that leader welched on this deal, and by the way, Trump made good on his threat. What happened? He punished them, launching airstrikes. The first time the Taliban had violated that agreement. And by the way, folks, since then, not a single U.S. soldier died in combat in Afghanistan under that umbrella. Let's not forget that, okay? This was a terrible situation that occurred. It didn't have to be. And to have Blinken do what he did yesterday is deplorable. I can't say anything more. It's downright deplorable for its Secretary of State to do what he did yesterday. Trying to find answers here. It's unbelievable. Final thoughts, sir. I leave it to you.
So, I guess in final thoughts, there's, you know, to move away specifically from the testimony, I'm sure you've heard about these biometric devices that were left behind there and the threat that this poses to the allies that supported us. You know, I've done a little research on this, Jay, and from what I hear or read is that those devices have limited usefulness to the Taliban because they work off of secure servers to get the information. However, there are these personnel databases that they've created out there. That's where the real threat is. We had these databases that we've used to track all of the Afghans that we employed, and it has tons of information about every one of them. You could not devise or design a better weapon for the Taliban to exact revenge on the people that supported us for 20 years than to have access to those databases, and they have it. So, again, it's horrible planning and poor decision-making is what led to this. And all we could talk about now at this stage, Jay, is really the way forward. I mean, what is the new reality that we have? This over-the-horizon capability that President Biden talks about is just a fancy way of saying this is the best we could do without having boots on the ground. That's all that means. We have an over the horizon. We have that with anybody, and it's much less of a capability than if we had boots on the ground and intelligence capabilities, aviation assets, special operations assets in country. He knows that. It's just a way to come up with an excuse for how diminished our capabilities are right now. So here in the U.S., what are we looking at? We're looking at, you know, that it's going to return probably in many ways our homeland security apparatus intelligence to the days following 9/11, the years following 9/11, where we were seeing threat alerts, we were getting credible threats that would come out to different cities or infrastructure all the time. That's going to happen again, and we're going to see that because now we have all these terrorist groups operating freely in Afghanistan, obviously with a friendly government who has already proven they will not turn them over to us. They will support them. That's what we're up against. But we do need a plan, and I guess that's going to have to be, we're going to have the best capability we have to strike when we have to take out those high-value targets. That's what this comes down to, which the good news is we have the greatest, most capable, battle-tested military in the history of the world right now. These guys have been fighting for 20 years. We know Afghanistan, and we're going to have to rely on our aviation and special operations assets to try and take those threats out. As far as Afghanistan, Jay, we haven't even spoken about that. I mean, it's a humanitarian crisis. They're talking about people starving going into the winter right now, because there's one thing for sure. The Taliban isn't here to actually govern. I mean, they're here to, you know, enact power on everybody. They're not here to actually govern, which is not holding power over people. It's taking care of people. You know, it reminds me, I'll just finish with this, as an Army officer, you know, a lot of people, I was enlisted first during the Cold War. I was in Germany when the Berlin Wall came down, and then later I became commissioned as an officer. And, you know, people would think that, well, officers, that's like sort of a position of privilege. It's a privilege to lead troops, but as far as privilege, you know, what they train you as an officer, a leader, You never eat until every single one of your troops has eaten. You come last. They come first. Your people come first, not you. You know, I was the first up and the last to go to sleep every day in Iraq. And that's how it's supposed to be as an officer. You have great responsibility. You're taking care of your troops. That's not what these people are doing, the Taliban. They're over there to have power, and they're not concerned about feeding their people and taking care of their people. So you're going to see on a whole other parallel humanitarian crisis.
Yeah, they're there to formulate their new plan against the United States of America. That's what they're there for right now, folks. That's the reality. Captain Kenneth von Bass, we will have many a conversation, I am sure. We thank you for a couple of minutes on this Monday. Thanks, Captain.